I'm Stephen Jack Busala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, and this is the Land Academy Show.
This is episode number 1997, and today we are talking about three ways to take advantage of the 2024 real estate stagnation that is sure to happen this year. Mm-hmm. A little later, we'll talk about how we're going to take a look at how you respond to change. Uh-oh. This change is going to happen this year, not just in real estate.
Uh-oh. Is this a Jill, we're taking a deep dive into your psyche? How do you respond to things?
I would not dare.
Oh, gosh.
To put you center stage and ask you all kinds of questions that put you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah,
no, Jill.
Right.
No, that's not what this is.
Thanks a lot. We left my comfort zone way back there a long time ago, like 10 years ago.
Were you ever in your comfort zone, do you think? Like, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know what? I was not in my comfort zone. I was in a comfort zone and I hated it.
Me too.
I felt trapped.
Me too.
I felt stuck. I couldn't stand it. I hit the ceiling of where I was working. There was nowhere to go. And then that's why I've had that a couple times in my life and I had to make changes. And now that we run our own companies, I don't have that problem anymore.
We just had this exact talk about, I don't want to blow the episode here, but how risky a W-2 job is. Mm. And it's so ironic because you think it's the greatest thing ever. Oh, I got this great job. I'm going to get a car. I'm going to get, I'm buy a new house. I'm finally going to do the stuff I want to do. It's totally the opposite. You should hunker down, especially this day and age, and prepare for that single point of failure to fail.
It's true.
Each week on the show, we answer questions from our Land Academy member Discord forum and review land acquisitions from our weekly member webinars. And then we take a deep dive into two land-related topics.
Yep. All right. So Alicia wrote, how many zip codes do you gauge your mailer on in the red, yellow, green test? So what I mean is, do you test 3 to 10 zip codes? And then if 6 out of 10 are good, and then 4 don't pass, what's your number? I'm sure I'm overthinking here. I like this question.
Alicia,
how many is enough and what's not too much?
You're not overthinking this at all. And I have to tell you, I love your contribution to Discord. Not as a person who's, you are using Discord how we intended it when we set it all up. She's asking tiny little questions every single step of the way. I can read through Discord on most of the channels and I can see, where you are in your career.
That's sweet.
And at some point, I'll tell you, and I say this with passion, we're just not going to hear from you again. That's how this always happens because you're off and running. And thanks, guys.
That's true. Loud. Got it.
I got what I needed from you, and bye.
True. True that.
You are not overthinking this at all. I would test as many zip codes as you possibly can stomach. And the more that you test, the more you're going to find 2 or 3 or 4 that absolutely kick the heck out of the other ones. But I will tell you on a personal note, the vast majority of the time when I pick an area to test and I run, let's say, a 10 zip code test, I choose like 8 or 9 of them. There's usually one glaring.
Like, what's your average? 8 or 9 out of 20?
10.
Generally.
10's good. 10's a good, 10's good regional rural market. If it's urban, it's a whole different deal. And we talk about that in House Academy. Urban markets are usually for House Academy, and you can see right away where you should be sending mail.
But
rural land markets, like 10.
Well, what's the most common thing that of the red, yellow, green tests? Days on market, new list to sold, and what's the third?
In the universe of properties, what's listed.
Yeah, okay. What's the number one? What weighs the most? Is it days on market?
No, it used to be. Oh. Used to be days on market for a long, long time was a real indicator where you could look at, let's say, 3 zip codes out just as sake of argument. One's got a days on market of 80, one's got a days on market of 70, and one's got it of 60. Oh, 60 is the best because it's stuff's moving faster. But that's just not what I really look at now is what's pending. Mm. And what's existing. And okay. So if I have, there's a market I just analyzed for mobile homes, and it has as many pending properties as it does for sale properties. And so what I can tell then is that it was a lot too, like 30 pending, and with the entire list, I think there were left over, there were 30 for sale still. So there was a huge problem, in my opinion, with the properties that are still left for sale, meaning they're not priced correctly, mm-hmm. or the quality of the products or location is substandard. So now it's telling me like everything I need to know about that market, and I want to stay out of there. So you can tell so much from this red, green, yellow test. So
it's true.
You can't overdo the red, green, yellow test. First of all, it's
free. By the way, it's free. Exactly. It's free. You haven't downloaded any data yet.
And it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, doing a mailer, if you don't get concierge data to do it, it's, you know, it's especially if it's your first time, it's time consuming and a pretty big learning curve. But red, green, yellow test is you and a weekend and a pot of coffee. Mm-hmm. And you're going to come out of that. Well, I can tell you know what you were doing already, mm-hmm. just by asking this question. Absolutely. More is better for all this stuff.
I think more is better too, in a lot of things, most things, not kids.
Wow, there's a gear shift there. I agree with you.
Not marriages or kids. More is not better.
Jill just bought a new couch and she, I think, overspent on it. And,
There's a compliment here. I can't wait to hear this.
We both sat down on this couch, and it's really nice. Actually, it's going to change our lives, quite honestly.
Yeah.
It's sad to report, but that's all it takes.
I won. I was right. Not that
the first thing we both looked at each other and said, "No children will ever sit on this couch. Like, no. It's not going to get racked or."
We have no kids at home and no pets.
We both just had a little smile on our face, like, you know.
I can have a tan couch, a cream couch. That's it. I intentionally bought a cream couch and I love it.
I do too, actually.
It's awesome.
Today's first topic, three ways to take advantage of the 2024 real estate stagnation that will happen. Mark my words, it's happening now. Mm-hmm. The real estate market is finally responding to the crazed frenzy that was COVID driven. Everybody got to work from home who could. Everybody moved out of town who could. True. And so there was a lot of movement. There was it drove prices way up, unrealistically high.
True.
And so for lots of industries, they got subsidized by the governments, not just in this country, but all over the place. So what ended up happening, in my opinion, is this massive interruption in real supply and demand. And that trickled into this pure supply demand of real estate in location and price and all of that. Then a bunch of other stuff happened. It got too crazy. So the federal government stepped in specifically last year, raised the hell out of interest rates to a kook level, in my opinion. And that had a huge effect on access to capital, including mortgages. The whole result is, and that was the federal government's intention, is to stop the madness and to bring some balance back into pure supply and demand. And we're gonna see that. Before that actually truly happens, the pendulum's gonna swing back in the other direction. There was a frenzy before. It's gonna take a huge chill pill. And this year, we're gonna see what I'm gonna call stagnation. It's probably gonna be a little bit deflated, but it won't crash, I don't believe, like it did in 2000 and let's say 10 or 9. And so how can we really take advantage of this as investors? I've said this before 1,000 times. This is my third time. So I really, my third time buying and selling land as a primary way to make money, my primary income in business. Mm-hmm. And the second time was just a repeat of the first time. The severity was different. This time will be just like the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty equal severity. So number one, there's a lot more properties on the market. So you need to, number one, make a lot of offers. A lot more offers than you're making now, because they will be responded to much more favorably because there's so much real seller competition.
Love this.
Number two, more people, and take this how you will be renting than buying. The stagnation that's going to happen or is happening happens in the job markets too. Less people are getting raises.
Yeah.
More people are getting laid off. I hate to be negative here, but there's no other way to say it. So there's a lot more down. And when things are down, it's just like the stock market. When it's down, there's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Something's in my opinion, the stock market usually gets artificially put down. Like, let some newscast comes out or some type of natural event happens, and the stock takes a huge dive, and then it comes back up. It's all based on kind of news reporting. And it's based on, not based, it's based on reality. This is based on reality.
True.
People lose their job, they're going to need to make some decisions in life, which takes me to point three. People are going to move. All this frenzy of all these people that are working from home in response to COVID and bought a property in Lake Tahoe, they can't afford it now, or maybe they've got a jobs change or scenario and they have to move back into the city. And so it's not just houses, it's all of it. Tons of people bought land with the idea of building a house out in the woods because they were going to work from home forever, and that's all going to change, and it is changing. So enter you, the real estate investor. Take a look at all these things, digest it all, run and just keep sending offers out in areas that are indicative to these three things or more, whatever makes sense to you. You're going to win.
I love it. I'm trying to think I had a question about this as far as prices. Did you really dive deep enough, I wonder, in the pricing, or can you add to that? Like, in addition to sending out more offers, this is where you can just, we talk, how do I say it? On our Thursday member call, we have people that will bring up deals sometimes and they're kind of on the fence about it. I'm like, you know what, then what'll solve it? And often it's money. So I'm like, all right, so if you got it for what, they're like, well, yeah, if I could buy it for that, then I'd do it and figure it out. It would be a no brainer. I'm like, okay. That's how you need to think about it. So I mean, that's going to come up even more.
So let me just kind of tee up what Joe's really saying. We get a deal in. Would you do this deal on our Thursday call? We look at tons of them every single Thursday for our membership group. And they are presented like this. This is a buy for $14,000 and a sell for $65,000.
Right.
And we look at it and bring our experience and a bunch of other people that are on our panel say, oh, I love this about it. I love this about it. I love this about it. But this is not good. Mm-hmm. There's an issue here. What's going to fix it? Well, you're buying it for 14. What do you say you try to buy it for 7? And then you got all kinds of room on the sell side if something goes wrong to say, no, it's a buy for 7 and sell for 22.
Right.
Because some stuff went wrong. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be buying for 14 and selling for 22. Mm-hmm. It's just not worth your time. So what she's saying is, I think, if I can paraphrase, just do that anyway. Send out the offers that way. Do it on all the deals. Just send out three times as much mail as you're currently sending and pick and choose which ones you want to do.
You speak, Jill, very well. Jill got three sentences out. And Jack says, let me take this back over here and explain
it. To be super clear. What she's saying is buy the freaking property cheap. All right. Yeah. Especially now. There's a lot more property.
Be aggressive.
On the market. You know, it's going to take you a little longer to sell it. You want to make sure you're buying the stuff cheap.
You should be looking at everything like this. If this guy says yes to this number, I'm buying it. I got to buy it. That's how I want you to think about it with every deal right now. And like you said, mail it out that way. Don't be afraid of it. Watch what happens. You know, we joke about this all the time. You're on the phone and you say, you know what? I know I said 53. I meant 53,000. I meant 5,300. I did some looking at it. That's the best I can do. And then wait for it and see what happens. You know, not like you're, and usually there's a reason behind it. I don't want you to be that guy. Like, don't try to be a not good person. But there's circumstances that you're like, we're talking about right now. You got to make some really smart decisions. And you're not, whatever it is, it's up to them to say yes or no. If they're comfortable with it, they'll say yes. And if they're not, they'll say, can you make it 10? And I might make it 10.
Let me tell a little anecdotal story about Jill to really drive this story, to drive her point home here. Jill and I used to live in Hermosa Beach, and there was a town close in California, a town close by named Torrance. And a property came up for sale. I'm not sure if it came up on the MLS. It was a house, which is way out of our business model, you know. Back then, we were buying and selling land just like we are now. But a property came up, we either became aware of it or it was listed on the MLS. And it was a good deal. I mean, just the square footage and all the statistics, it was clear to me something was going on with the seller. So I said, hey, you know this girlfriend that you have who's a real estate agent? And she seems to be really active and very successful at it. Mm-hmm. Let's get her to go find out why. She can be our real estate agent on this deal. I think it was $700,000 in a sea of $1.2 million properties. So she did. She called her girlfriend. She went and found out the whole thing. And we determined that the property at $700,000 was a pretty good deal, but not a good enough deal for us. Mm-hmm. And we determined that, you know, at $650 or $625, I don't remember the exact numbers, that's the kind of Jack and Jill pricing and deal that we'll do. And it's real tough for us to lose any money. In fact, we're probably going to make $100,000 pretty quick.
Right.
That was the exact thought process. So Jill, being Jill, goes back to her and says, I know it's listed for this. This is the price, and let's close the deal. And she blew her top.
Yep.
She said, at that price, I would buy it.
That was it. I'm like,
and Jill said, that's the whole point.
Exactly.
Every deal we do is like that. Exactly. As if to say, in air quotes, you have to buy it at that price.
Right.
And she, a big, massive light bulb went off in her head and said, that's why these guys live on the ocean and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it unfolding in her head.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was thinking it.
Wasn't that funny?
In terms of presenting offers and potential embarrassment or whatever real estate agents think about.
Well, probably like maximizing her commission, I would say. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. But that's true. That's a good
story. When you look at a land deal, you need to look at it and say, I have to buy this.
Yep.
I have to buy this. This is, in fact, I probably should open escrow today.
Yep.
And
run to the bank.
Stop what I'm doing now. This deal is so good, I need to buy it.
Before anybody changes their mind.
These are the only deals that Jill and I do.
Yeah.
And there will be more of them during this stagnation period. How do we accomplish that? What's the real secret? We send out truck tons of mail and offers.
I love that. That was good.
Let's take a look. Do you want to talk more?
Uh-uh. I'm drinking my tea.
Let's take a look at one of our favorite land acquisitions from our weekly Thursday member webinar.
Would you do this deal? In Columbia County, Georgia. Not sure how to assess this one, she's saying, but this is the accepted offer price. What do we got? 12 acres around stuff.
Without reading the description, which we'll do in a second, what's your thought on this?
It looks like it's left over for something.
Because
mm-hmm. there are houses darn near everybody else except for that one spot to the northeast. So that gives me a little bit of a concern. Now, having said that, it looks like there's a mountain or something or a gully.
We're going to see.
Yeah.
But that first impression is really good to practice. Like mm-hmm. you pull it up, bam, what's your first impression?
So we have the access. We see that. We've got adjacent. We've got that. We know it's 15 minutes from downtown Augusta. Lots of development in the area. Asking price is now $700,000. I think I know what's going on here. And we're trying to figure out if we can make it work. Totally know what's going on.
Me too.
Okay. So, and we're trying to figure out if we can make it work. 12 acres without the house. It was on the market for 9 months in 2021 for $300,000. 1 acre parcel has a brick house from the 60s in good shape where the seller currently lives. Yes. Best use may be subdividing for SFR development. Spoke to a broker in Augusta who agrees and recommended an engineer do a simple concept to assess the topography and figure out how many lots could be placed there. Does this seem appropriate or extra for this deal? Dana, this sounds to me like I listen to these podcasts too, where you pick up the phone and you cold call or you do texting things and all you're doing is reaching out to an area that you like and seeing who really wants to sell. And then you start talking to them and have a communication like this for a month. And they finally go, yeah, okay, I do want to sell something. And then what they're throwing out to you is may or may not be what you're looking for and definitely not the price you want. So this, if they couldn't sell it for $300,000 in 2021, I wouldn't touch this. I wouldn't touch this for less than $100,000, maybe 50.
50 is the number.
Yeah, I'm thinking 50. So they don't want to sell or you know what? How about this? She does want to sell and she gives, you wore her down. And she gave you her make me move number. You know what? So this is what this lady, I think, said. This Dana, I like this Dana, or at least for a month, Dana won't go away. Fine. Here's my number, $700,000.
That's not the typical Land Academy deal.
Oh, she's selling us the home in the middle.
Yeah. With it, right?
Yeah. I still don't know. Okay. Are they all worth $1 million?
if it's really worth $1 million for the whole thing, then I can wrap my head around $700,000.
Let's see what her precious house is worth.
And I wait this for property, just a few people to call me back.
4 acres is worth $145,000. So
if it's I were to
value this property without a house on it, just dirt, it would be $14,000. So that's $14,000 for 4 acres. This is
$700,000.
12 acres. So $50,000 or $60,000 is what is dead on.
Yeah. Well, even throw in the house. What's she wants to sell the house to?
So the house is worth $430,000. Okay. That's all right. That's good. That's not so bad.
Cool. So that means maybe in a good day, maybe all the stars are in alignment, Dana, you can buy these 12 acres on the house and sell it for $500,000.
That's exactly what I think. That's so you need to perfect. Buy it for 150 to 200.
Well, let's got a house on it. If she's living there in the house and you could still work it, let's just say I could sell it for $500,000. If I can buy it sub 400 and make $100,000, I would do it because it's a house deal now.
Jill and I own a full-blown commercial company, a commercial printing company called offers2owners.com. And I know for a fact, because I just approved it, that we are running some pretty amazing March sales.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact.
March discounts.
Well, and there's going to be some special stuff going on too if you join us next Tuesday. So next Tuesday, March 26th, I will be live with our concierge data lead. What do we call him? We'll just say lead in the companies and doing a behind the scenes look at the concierge data, what really goes on. So join us, go to offers2owners.com or landacademy.com and you'll find on the front page there a place that you can sign up to attend the live webinar and just see what we do, what goes on, and ask some questions and take advantage of the deals coming up. Now we're going to take a look at another question posted by one of our members on the Land Academy Discord online community. All right. Sid wrote, responding to Troy.
Another member in Discord.
I started with another I can already tell this is cool. I started with another program that used neutral letters as their primary marketing method. Since you're not putting a price on the letter, you will get 3 to 4 times the number of responses. You will spend a lot of time on the phone to determine that 95% of those callers will not fit your buying criteria and will want retail price for their property. I did buy my first property with this method, so it does work, but with a lot of wasted noise. I joined Land Academy and switched to the blind offer method. Not near the amount of responses, but the seller has an idea of the price you're willing to pay. Most will want to negotiate the price, etc. So the person answering the phone or calling you back, if you have it going to a service, is the key to the business. I've priced too high and I've also priced too low on some mailers. So the key is to determine what price you're willing to negotiate and stick with it. I've had sellers refuse to initially accept my price, only to call back 1 to 2 months later and accept. Good luck with your journey.
That's so sweet.
There's a lot of, for whatever reason, we had several people in the last, let's say 60 days join us from other programs. And there's all kinds of different methodologies out there. We obviously believe ours is the best. And one of those is neutral letters, where you just send an offer saying, hey, I'd like to buy a piece of
property.
One
of the other ways to do it, yeah.
I'd like to buy a piece of property, give me a call. And so it generates a ton of activity, but not at a price that you typically want to pay.
Right. I even had one come in. So we don't do neutral letters at all. We don't do postcards. I don't know anything to warm anybody up because the last thing I want to do, if I send out a postcard to the planet saying I want to buy your property, they're all going to call me. and then we're going to all, it's just going to slow me down and waste my time. And what's funny about the offer range, which I've seen, did we mention that?
No.
This is just this. I got to tell you. I just had someone send me an offer on a property that I don't own anymore, but it was so funny because not only they're expecting me to do math as a seller. They don't know who I am. So I get this thing like, hey, we want to buy your 4.6 acre property in Tennessee and we're willing to pay anywhere between $2,000 and $8,000 an acre. I'm like, well, all I see is $8,000 an acre, and now I got to do the math. Mm-hmm. But they probably, when they sent that out, I'm sure they're thinking $2,000. Why don't you just send an offer for $2,000 an acre and just cut to the chase? And then when I get it and I see it, it either works for me or it doesn't. That's the point.
Why would somebody do that?
I know, isn't that weird?
No, I'm asking seriously, why?
I don't know. I guess just to get a phone call. Just, I would say that if you're going to write 2,000 to 8,000, just say 2,000 or more. Or just, you know, at least minimum or something like that. I don't know.
Whoever you are.
And when you give two numbers, you're automatically going to see the higher one. Unless you're buying something, you automatically see the red sticker.
Whoever you are, whatever type of investor you are or you want to be, please take note of this. When you do a mailer, I don't care what kind of mailer it is, picture yourself sitting at the kitchen table opening the mail, and they open your letter and what their response is going to be. And I don't think that you'll end up sending a letter that requires somebody to get out a solar powered calculator out of their junk drawer and then explain it to their husband, who doesn't want to sell the property anyway for any price.
You know that happens. Is it really 4.6? I mean, can we
make him go through four steps to actually consider picking up the phone and saying, oh, $8,000 for my 4-acre property, $32,000 sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
About 1% of anybody who receives your letter that way is ever going to get it. Is ever going to go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
They've already had the life event that's going to make them sell the property to you. If they see $32,000 associated with a property they never wanted in the first place, they're going to call you.
Yep.
If not, if they think it's worth $55,000, they're going to call you and yell at you. That's fine. That happens all the time. They're going to crumple your letter up and throw it away, and that's fine too. That's all part of what we do.
Totally. It's hilarious.
Today's second topic, let's take a look at how you, not you, Joe, but you listener, respond to change.
Let's take a look at how Jill responds to change. Let's just start there, actually.
Actually, you know what?
I'm okay with that.
You handle change really well.
You know, I didn't always.
Really?
No, I didn't. Well, I guess it depends on some things. But I remember, maybe I do it well, because there's one situation I didn't, and then that surprised me, and that's the one I hang my hat on. It was changing from Sabre to Quick Res. Anybody who was in the airline industry knows, I know what that is. Heck, I spent 8 weeks learning Sabre, and you're making me ditch all this knowledge that I had. It's like, you know what it is? It'd be like if I took Excel away from you and said, no, you're just going to fill in the boxes.
That happened.
You would fight for that. You would fight, wouldn't you?
I went from Lotus to Excel, and I was in companies where they would start, you know, riots.
Yeah. So that was the same with me. I'm like, that one I wasn't really comfortable with. And there was a reason why, because I like the old school. I want to know what I'm pulling and what I'm doing. I don't like easy buttons. What?
We come from a generation, Joe and I, as many of you do, where just putting a computer on your desk was a massive change.
True.
You know, why can't I put this in a 3-ring binder? Why don't I have to use a copy machine anymore? Yeah. And so that first generation of change, then there was terrible software we used that didn't work.
True.
So you turn a computer off and just do it the old way.
Yeah.
Then some software came around that actually kind of worked okay.
True.
And so the supervisors all said, we're going to use this now. So you can throw those 3-ring binders away.
Exactly.
Then we really started getting software that made our lives easier. So if you entered the workforce when software was good, then change is really easy for you. That's my whole point to this. And so if you're younger, change through computer. Now we know, fast forward to now, we know that Apple 17 is going to be better than 15 theoretically. We just know that, and we've accepted it, and change will come, and it's going to happen, and we pay for it, and it generally makes our lives better.
Usually it's better. Now I'm excited for it. It's better,
yeah, me too.
Well, you know what? So here's what happened. That was my one thing. So you know what? You're right. I am good at change, because I'm sitting, as you're talking, I'm thinking about it. I've moved a lot. We've moved a lot. You know, we go where jobs are. We go where kids need to get in school. We go where we want to be. We go where we can now afford, or we go where we can't afford. You know, we're not afraid to do that. Some people don't do that. There's a lot of people don't do that. So I was raised on change. I wonder if it's nature or nurture. I guess that's I always think of that. Whatever it is, I always go, is it nature or nurture? I don't know why, but it helps me process it when I think of it like that. So I think for me, by nature, I'm probably fine with it. Like, am I still going to be able to do X? Then I'm like, sure, then let's do it. That's all I care about. I don't have a lot of major needs. But by nurture, I was raised in a little bit of a, here's what we're doing now, we're, you know, kind of thing. All right, let's go.
So a lot of this too, I think, is industry specific. If you're in the tech industry, you have to embrace change, and it'll make or break you. You're always trying to find the next best thing and make it great. Timing's everything in that industry. In healthcare, you have to embrace change. I used to be in healthcare, and I've never seen a group of people in general that are more adverse to anything changing in my entire life. Oh. You know,
we've got by with this, using this old charting system for 25 years.
I mean,
why can't we do it for 25 more?
There's some reasonably good arguments to back it up. Like, I'm going to deliver the same exact care to this person, whether I put it in the computer or not. What you lose is outcomes and care plans and all the stuff that where you can measure, sure. You know, the delivery of care and which caregivers maybe has a better outcomes than the one next to them and all of that. When that. That defeats the purpose of why you should theoretically get into healthcare in the first place. So I get it. A lot of it's industry specific, some of it's age, but I'll tell you what, change happens. And in this industry, you better embrace it.
Oh, well, I'm going to talk about you before you bring it into us real quick.
Oh, man.
I know. Well, just how do you think you are? How do you think you are on a scale of 1 to 10? And then I'll tell you what you really are. Wait, I'm writing down a number. All right. So what do you think you are?
I embrace technology change on a scale of 1 to 10, like 1 meaning I'm terrible and 10 meaning I'm great at it.
Mm-hmm.
I embrace technology change probably north of 9.
Okay.
I embrace change that's related to like the regular building blocks of life, like where I live, and I'm probably a 2.
Oh, so where would you, if you overall averaged it, I'm holding, you could probably see my number.
I can't see it.
Also, so
I'm
yeah.
Probably like a solid 6.
Oh, I gave him an 8. You see
oh,
that?
Good.
No, I can't see it. You can't see it, but there's an 8 on there. I gave him an 8.
You're probably about an 8 too.
You know what? I take it back. I'm an 8. You're about a 7.
Yeah, I think those are good numbers. Yeah. Maybe 6.
For whatever reason, I'm good at it. You're like, here's what we're doing now. I'm like, okay. You know what? When we bring people into Land Academy and in our back end, you know, part of it, the staffing, what's one of the things I tell them? Don't get comfortable. However we're doing it today might not be how we're doing it tomorrow. So just hang on and you'll get used to it. So, you know what's funny? So thinking about Land Academy, this is a good topic because we're in year 9. Of just Land Academy, everybody. We're going to be in 10 years of Land Academy, a decade of teaching and helping people. How cool is that?
That's insane, yeah.
Man, this is awesome. So we're going to quickly be rolling into year 10 of Land Academy. And I'm thinking about the changes we've even had since Land Academy. We didn't have the mapping stuff we have. We didn't have the GPS stuff that we had when we started Land Academy. We had a whole different data. So we've gone through 3 different data sources, almost 4 when you go back to the old school debt ways. Like, it's pretty cool. Our online community has changed 3 times. Right?
We failed at sending out mail with outside commercial printing companies to the point we were so upset about it, we just started our own.
True.
How many data sets? This is our fourth. This is our fourth source of data because they just keep getting better.
Oh, 4, yeah.
And it's not our last.
Right. That's the thing.
You know what hasn't changed?
What's that?
What Jan does, what Jill's transaction coordinators, how we source transactions has dramatically changed.
True.
How we sell them has changed. True. First, it was real estate agents, then it was just us, Facebook Marketplace, all this other stuff. Then we did it on terms, then we didn't. And now we're back to finding good real estate agents.
My stuff in the middle
circle.
Didn't change. The way
Nothing
I
in the
phone.
Middle changes.
Oh, the way I
the
answer
middle,
the phone and what
the,
I do,
the
just
two
that
ends
change.
Change. And that's
wow.
A, the center and processing a deal and taking it through escrow is all exactly the same.
That didn't change. And my phone number didn't change.
It's really important to really, I think, you know, deconstruct your life and see where change is appropriate and where it's not, and not to be hard-headed about this. I was very hard-headed about this. I was the last person to get a cell phone, and you know,
right.
And once I embraced it, though, and some of it's really worth it. I think social media in general is a terrible change. I think it brings more worse than better.
I think it peaked.
Yeah, I hope so.
I really do think it peaked.
So we'll see. My point for me to wrap up today is, I still mean it. We're investors right here with you, doing our own deals right alongside you. Mm-hmm. So when a change is needed, we'll do it. We'll record it for you. We'll write a program and record it for you, and we'll share it with you. We'll figure it out. We'll watch for it. We'll figure it out. We'll test it. We'll perfect it, and then we'll share it with you to keep you moving forward. Because we do want to do some bigger and better deals with you all the time. That's our goal.
Hey, let's take a look at another one of our favorite land acquisitions from our weekly Thursday member webinar.
In Clay County, Florida, 1.08 acres. Offered 8,000, they counted at 12. House right next to the property. Public road, gravel, comps are all over the board. Seller called and stated he would only sell if they got 12. I don't think it's a good deal at 12, but decent at 8. Figured I'll ask you guys before I decide to walk away from the deal. Love it. All right.
Here's my 5-second opinion on this. This is an awesome piece of dirt. There's houses all over the place. Still some vacant property. In fact, these two properties are vacant, 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 and vacant, and vacant. So I hope there's not some kind of weird slope thing going on here. We'll find out in a second. But that first 5-second opinion is really important. So I love this piece of dirt as a usable place to buy, to put a house. You know, in a perfect world, these would all be developed. And this is the last piece of land.
Can you make me feel good with the Florida? Thank you.
That's good.
I panic with Florida. I'm like, I need to see where the water is.
Passing all of my phase one due diligence tests, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about the money.
So, Mommer, I'm thinking you don't like the 12 because houses in the area are selling for sub 250 or sub 200.
103 active properties. This is just land of any size, and 156 sold in a zip. That's good too. Now it's just price. And here you go. 1400, 1400, 2, 3, 3, 3000, 5000, 5, 6, 6. I know.
Okay.
Let's do it Jill's way here.
Thank you.
Starts at 7 for 1.32 for 1 acre and above. 45 sold, 33 active. That's still good. Active, it starts at 16.
Yeah, your 8's good. I wouldn't go above it.
I think your 8's dead on. My first gut was like, 8, 12, who cares? But no, it matters here.
It does matter.
8's good. I like 8. And I would buy it for 8.
Jill, you have something to share.
I do. So I was thinking about this recently, talking with my staff about, you know, people in Land Academy and people not getting to Land Academy, off and on, I help take calls and talk to people who are interested and have questions about joining. And I have a new person now helping me out, who's within our existing staff, who's been here for years, that said, I want to help with the phone calls. I'm like, thank you. Yes. And it's interesting. My point today is, it's interesting what we're uncovering. And some people are not coming at this with the enthusiasm that they need to be successful. Or to make it more positive, yay to those who are. So let me pivot for a minute.
There's a story. There's a story
here. Pivot, make it good. Why wouldn't you not go 110% at something, anything that you're committed to?
I agree.
I don't have it in me to not do that.
Me too.
I'd rather not do it. Like, if I'm going to start a new hobby, take on a new project, definitely a new line of business, oh, I'm in. Like, and I'll start kicking other things. Anything else that's not important, takes up my time, takes up my mental energy, oh, it's out of here. You know, anybody who stands in my way, especially people who stand in my way, who don't agree with what I'm doing or just holding me back, sorry, they're just not going to be around, because I'm going to commit and I'm going to go at it. And so that's the thing. Most of our community is made up of that. And that really does make me happy. So that was my comment today is, you know, think about when you make a pivot and you're jumping into something new, make sure that you are all in. Because if you are, and you make those tough decisions to say, I'm not going to let this fail. You have to come at it and say, whatever happens, I'm going to get through it. I won't let it fail. You will succeed.
My dad used to say, if it's worth doing, do it right.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not worth doing or you don't add into it or whatever, then don't even just get out of there.
Well, if it's not worth doing to you, then you don't see it. You don't feel it. You're right. Not invested in
that's
it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it. Then don't do anything you're not invested in.
First figure out what's worth doing.
Right. And for me, well, for you, is like if it's a business, if it's a hobby, you know, you're doing it to, for whatever reason, you want to do the hobby. You love it. You want to learn it. Maybe you just want to have a release. It's relaxing. You know, those are all good reasons too. But for what we do, like for you're starting a new business or something or adding to your existing businesses, you know, you're going to make sure the math works. And then when you make sure the math works, then you're
times
in.
Times 10.
Mm-hmm. Make sure that that's works. What you do.
Got to work in a spreadsheet before it's going to work in real life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What about you, Jack? What do you have to share with us today? Informational.
Along the lines of what we talked about today, I realized that this is an endless pursuit. Components of it end and restart, but it is not, you know, you don't ever stop trying to get better at what you're doing if it's worth doing, along the lines of what you're saying. So it's endless. I used to think for a lot of reasons, and I grew up in an environment where you start a company, the company works, you keep your customers, you keep them happy, and that's it. And you keep making parts or whatever it is that you're doing. And it's not an endless pursuit. It's kind of like and then you kick your feet back up. And this whole notion of, and you don't hear this anymore of, hey, I'll, you know, I want to be on the beach by the time I'm 40 years old.
Mm.
And
yeah, you don't hear that anymore.
Ever.
Huh.
Because it's not a thing anymore. You're going to endlessly pursue whatever it is because, and largely because of technology. Because technology changes so fast. You know, the way that we source real estate deals will not be the same next year as it is this year. That I can tell you for sure.
True.
And then 3 years from now, we probably won't even be, it's probably going to look really different. How we that's buy cool. them, how we sell them, the amount of technology that's used, whatever role AI plays, it will play a role for sure. And if you don't have an open mind to that, it's going to end. This is just an endless chase.
That's so interesting.
And I actually think it's good.
Great. Don't forget, you can reach us and my staff for questions or you want to join or just find out more, whatever it is. Two things. Go to landacademy.com or if you need to reach someone, just send a note to support@landacademy.com.
Join us next Wednesday for another interesting episode. You're not alone in your real estate ambition.
We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.